love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam, hands-free, from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of three on the early line, live right here on a Football Friday on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Week number three of the NFL season is already underway. A full Sunday slate on the horizon. Week number four of college football is going to be one of the best single Saturdays DRS we have seen in the past 5 years of that illustrious sport. It's the home stretch of Major League Baseball. There is so much to get to, Donnie. I feel like 2 hours remaining, not enough time, but we will do so here on this Football Friday on TEL.
Yeah, excited for it. Absolutely. Got the four games tonight. Huge college football slate tomorrow. And away we go into the weekend. This is what we do, though. Football Friday is what we wait for all year long, and it's exciting to be a part of them. Can't wait. Let's go.
DRS, let's go to the streets of New York. Whoa. The radio audience, you're going to have to wait just a little bit. We got to run it. Should we run it right now? Joe Frieza, what do you think? Should we do it right now, or should we wait to welcome in the radio audience at 2 minutes and 15 seconds? Yeah, we'll just kill a little bit of time here, DRS. Thursday night football started off week number three. The San Francisco 49ers, the first perfect 3-0 team this year. 30-12, the victory for the Niners over the Giants, DRS, covering as a 10.5-point favorite. It sets the stage for Sunday in week number three.
Yes, it certainly does, and also maybe sets the stage for an epic tilt in just a couple weeks here in the NFC between the Cowboys and the 49ers. Yeah. I like what is – look, there's a lot of competent teams in the NFC, and certainly the San Francisco 49ers are one of those. Big-time win here. They get a little bit of rest time as they get ready for being the best team in the NFC, possibly maybe the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys, as we welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live to the Early Line on a Football Friday edition right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. He's Ben, I'm Donnie. And as Ben said, we got 2 more hours to go. Let's get after it.
Let's get after it, and let's go to the streets of Manhattan, DRS. You know the new rules here for the 2023 football season on Benny and the Bets, a three-team money line parlay. The team cannot be greater than a touchdown favorite that you are picking. We give you $5 guaranteed in the streets. If you follow Sports Grid TV on either Instagram or Twitter and your parlay hits, it hasn't so far this year, we give you an extra 20 plus the plus money you already made from betting that winning ticket. So we'll get DRS's reaction to what you guys saw this week in the streets for week number three. It's time for Benny and the Bets. Week number three of the 2023 National Football League regular season. You know the deal this year on Benny and the Bets. Three Moneyline Parlay picks for week three's NFL Sunday slate. Can't be greater than a touchdown favorite. You get them all right, we pay you a lot of money.
Hi, I'm Gord from Vancouver. Out to see New York City for the first time.
Forget about it.
Hey, very New York, you, Gord.
Thank you.
How did you become a Patriots fan in Vancouver?
When I was about 15 years old, I had to pick a team, and I wanted to pick a team that wasn't like a Niners or a Dallas, so I picked a loser team that turned into a great winning team.
What are your thoughts on Tom Brady?
I think Tom's the best ever.
What are your thoughts on Bill Belichick?
He's also the best ever.
What are your thoughts on Mac Jones?
He's getting there.
Okay.
Give him time.
So, as you said to start,
Patriots.
We're starting with Patriots.
That's right.
All right. Winless this year, but pretty competitive so far. How do you feel about the team?
Well, they're. I think if they win the next three, then they'll be okay.
And they play the Jets this week, so you're feeling pretty good.
That's pretty good. Without Aaron, come on. Zach can't even play dead if he was in a horror movie.
Chargers over the Vikings.
Chargers over the Vikings. Another winless team getting their first win of the year.
But a great quarterback.
You like Justin Herbert?
Oh, he's great. What about Detroit?
You like Detroit?
Yes.
Get their first win at home this year.
That would be nice.
All right, so here's the three-leg parlay once again.
Patriots, Chargers, Lions. Gord, how are you feeling entering Sunday?
I'm thinking it's going to be a great Sunday.
Gord, you're $5. Thank you for playing. Did you have some fun?
Thank you. It was great.
Tell the fine folks at home who you are.
Justin Diamond. I'm a real estate agent at Ellergren Real Estate. Work right up there. Live on the Upper East Side. Big Jets fan.
First Monday night of the year, Aaron Rodgers goes down, four offensive plays in. What was your heart feeling like?
There's a part of me inside that I knew it was going to happen at some point. I didn't know it was going to happen four plays in. I like Lions money line. Let's do that.
Lions money line.
Yeah.
What gives you the confidence in Detroit?
They beat the Chiefs. That's all I need.
First game at home for the Miami Dolphins, unbeaten this year.
Yeah, I'll do that. Dolphins.
Oh, don't let me influence you, though.
No, I like that. I don't like Denver. I hate them.
So here are the three teams. I'm going to read them out for you here.
Yeah.
We have the Jets as the underdog against the Patriots, Lions and the Falcons, Detroit a three-point home favorite.
That I'm pretty confident. I like
it. Love it. Dolphins nearly a touchdown favorite, but under the 7, 6.5 against the Broncos.
Let's do that. That's easy.
That's a pretty good-looking parlay right there, plus 394 for a moneyline hit.
I may have to do that myself.
I think you bet that yourself. There's your $5, by the way.
I'll buy myself half a sandwich with this.
Half a sandwich. Fantastic.
My name is Miles, Devin Miles.
Devin Miles, Browns, Titans, Cleveland a three-point favorite. Chargers and Vikings in the virtual pick'em. Jets, another New York team against the Patriots.
Chargers, I like the Chargers.
You like the Chargers? Get their first win of the year.
I like L.A. L.A. is strong.
L.A. is good. Good weather like this.
Yeah, L.A. is strong.
Do you like the Chargers logo because it's like electricity?
Of course. Like the Flash.
Commanders, Bills, Washington 2-0 this year. You want the Bills. Less than a touchdown favorite at 6.5. That's astute handicapping out of you.
Yes, I like the Bills.
All right, Bills it is. Lions in Detroit, second home game of the year against the unbeaten Falcons. Packers and the Saints.
I like the Falcons.
You like the Falcons?
Yes.
As the underdog.
Yes.
A plus 134 price. Here it is, the three teams. Chargers over the Vikings. Bills over the Commanders.
Yes.
Falcons over the Lions.
Yes, sir.
All right, this is like half a beer in New York City, $5. Hey, thanks for playing. Who are you? What's your name?
Dudley Williams, singer-songwriter.
Oh, fantastic.
New York. Yeah.
What kind of songs? What kind of genre of music?
R&B.
Fantastic. Are you on your way to go record songs at the moment?
I'm actually on my way to the studio right now.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. You want to give us a little sample, like a 15-second sample?
Sure. We'll see.
I guess I ain't learned my lesson, cause I keep on coming back to you.
I'm laughing because I see this on like TikTok and I'm like, I would not be the idiot to walk past.
Jets, definitely.
You know Aaron Rodgers is no longer the quarterback.
Yeah, I know that. But Jets is my brother's team, so I got to.
Okay. So this is for your brother?
For my brother.
He's a huge New York fan?
Yep, Falcons.
You want the Falcons?
Falcons, yeah.
So just to let you know, the first two that you've done are underdogs.
I respect it.
You're a big believer in the underdog.
I'm a believer in the underdog. I am the underdog.
You are the underdog.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do Dolphins.
Dolphins is the last one. You already got...
Yeah, wait, I got three or...
You already got three. The Dolphins would be your third. This is your three-leg NFL parlay for week number three. The Jets outright over the Patriots, the Falcons outright over the Lions, and the Dolphins outright at home against the Denver Broncos.
Yes.
There's your $5.
Thank you
for playing.
Thank you for having me.
Benny and the Bets.
Yeah.
Dudley Williams, the Silky Toes, yeah. DRS, on this Football Friday. All right, Donnie, quickly here. The four parlays, the three money line teams that we have. Fort Gord, the Patriots fans, the Pats, Chargers, Lions. Justin, the real estate agent, Jets, Lions, Dolphins. Devin, the fan of Los Angeles, Chargers, Bills, Falcons. Dudley with the voice of an angel, Jets, Falcons, Dolphins. DRS, of the four, which money line parlay you like the most?
Ooh. I'm going with Justin, Jets, Lions, and Dolphins. How about that, Dudley? How about that? Put me on the track. Ooh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back live right here on a Football Friday on the early line. A ton of games to get to, DRS. 13 as a part of the Sunday slate, so let's fly through. The home opener, DRS, at Lambeau Field for the Green Bay Packers as they welcome in the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans, a perfect 2-0, DRS. The Saints going to the road to take on the Packers this weekend. A very short number, 1.5 in favor of Green Bay. It's minus 120 on on that money line. DRS, a very competitive game expected from the odds. What say you?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? We'll start here with this game. We talk about the college football slate last week, a little bit underwhelming. Even though we all love NFL football, we're going to get into it. We don't have that marquee game this week. We have a lot of these sort of coin toss feel games. Now, the Saints have played very good football on defense and are 2-0 by no stretch where you say, like, hey, I didn't expect that. I did expect that. But the Green Bay Packers last week, they should actually be 2-0. They blew that game at Atlanta. Credit Atlanta for coming back. They're in a bounce back spot. However, saying that, I'm still waiting on what we're getting out of Green Bay here, because until I see them full strength, which means Aaron Jones at running back practicing again this week, it's still a hamstring injury. Yep. Watson, we don't know if he's back. So I would still lean on the Saints with their defense at this point. And also, if you're just reading into lines, and again, it's not the end-all be-all, Ben. You look at this game and see that plus 1.5, that's a lot of respect towards the New Orleans Saints in this football game. I think the Saints are going to go in the Lambeau and pick up a dub this weekend.
No doubt, DRS, the first time the Saints as an underdog this year, a total 42.5. New Orleans has gone under in 11 of their last 12 games, relying on that defensive unit. But Jordan Love, DRS, has been historic in the way that he has started this year. He hasn't thrown for over 250 in a game. Last week, only 151 against Atlanta. But 3 touchdowns, no picks against the Falcons. 3 touchdowns, no picks against the Chicago Bears. So, DRS, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in his 2 starts in 2023. In the last 10 NFL years, Jordan Love now is one of 4 quarterbacks to start off a season with 3 touchdown passes or more in each of their opening 2 games without a single interception. The other 4, Patrick Mahomes in both 2018 and 19, Tom Brady in 2015, and Peyton Manning back in 2014. Efficient for Jordan Love. Their second consecutive game against an NFC South foe. The second consecutive game then for the Atlanta Falcons against an NFC North team. The Falcons head to the Motor City, DRS, to take on the Lions. Detroit now just a field goal favorite on that key number of 3. DRS, we've said this all year long with the Lions. A favorite of about 4.5 points last week at home against the Seahawks. They lost that game in overtime against Seattle. An underdog week number 1, but Detroit is not going to be a dog much more often this year. Laying 3 at home, Donnie, against the Falcons, who are an unbeaten 2-0 as well. What's your handicap?
I think you're getting a nice discount here on the lines from that opening number, which now we're seeing it a field goal at home. And also you're talking about Detroit, a team that let one slip away last week at home. I don't think they're going to do the same thing. Having said that, I do like the fact that Atlanta's opened up the season. Keep in mind both of those games at home, but competent football team. One game being the lead dog the entire way, week number 1 against Carolina. Week number 2, actually having to fight back in the second half from a double-digit deficit to pull off that victory. That shows a lot of mettle. But if we're taking a look at styles that make fights, you're actually going to get one in this one. Take a look at Atlanta on defense, 133 yards per game they give up, which is pretty sensational. But again, the Packers aren't a high-flying attack, and neither are the Carolina Panthers, at least under Bryce Young. So that's going to be tested because Detroit, 283 yards per game in the air. Now, granted, you still want to watch it. Friday's the most important day of the week in the NFL for the practice report. Typically, you'll see guys questionable, doubtful, probable. You're going to understand who's going to be playing football by the end of this day on Sunday. And the reason I bring that up is you have a lot of injuries on Detroit, particularly Amon St. Brown at wide receiver. They really need him to get going. Now, he did practice. He has a turf toe. They're expecting him to go, but once again, keep an eye there. Also, if we're taking a look at being able to give up the pass, Detroit secondary, we know they're damaged. CJ GJ now going to probably be out for the year. For Detroit, they give up close to 270 yards passing. But having said that, Atlanta's not an aerial attack here. Only 163 pass yards through those first 2 weeks. Ritter's going to have to step up and win this football game. I'm not saying they can't. Yeah. This is going to be fantastic. I just look for Detroit, and the seasonal outlook for me was I think Detroit's going to win that division. They have to win this football game, and it's a cheap number now.
Spot on, DRS. The second game in the Motor City. Detroit, booked as a favorite, needs to back up why they are booked as a favorite. It's only at that number of 3. The Lions have only been booked as a favorite 6 times under Dan Campbell, who became the head coach at the start of 2021. Donnie, they are both 3-3 straight up and against the spread as a favorite in those 6 games. Favored still to win the NFC North at plus 115. The Saints, not Bijan and the Falcons, booked as the favorites to win the NFC South, plus 135. DRS, what a wild week it was in the Windy City. Justin Fields on the practice field yesterday made sure to get the cameras to him to give Luke Getsy, his offensive coordinator, a big hug. But maybe it's on the defensive side of the football. Alan Williams did resign from his post as DC for a Bears defense that ranks second to last in scoring so far this year, dead last season in scoring. And Donnie, Chicago has lost 12 consecutive games, giving up 25 or more to their opponent in all 12 L's. They head to Kansas City this week, Donnie, where it doesn't look much more optimistic as a 12.5 point underdog. Donnie, with how weird the week was in Chicago, what does it mean for the actual football on Sunday in Arrowhead?
You're supposed to be able to compartmentalize and say, okay, we have some crazy off-the-field things, but we're professionals, let's focus. I don't know if you can actually do that, because you're getting hit from all angles. Number one, the press wants to know what is actually going on inside Hallis Hall with your defensive coordinator that resigned because he had health issues. Number two, you have your franchise quarterback coming out, and the truth serum was there, because the first question was asked, what's wrong with your play? My coaches are wrong with my play. There's no coming back from that, but having said that, you should be able to get it going against Kansas City's defense here if you're Justin Fields. And also, sometimes you like a little bit of my back is now up against the wall. I just blame my coaches. If I come out here and throw for 167 yards, no touchdowns and two interceptions, the blame is going to go back on me. But also, if we're taking a look at, again, styles that make fights, we know Andy Reid doesn't want to run the football. And if you look at the Chicago Bears, only giving up around 3.2 yards per carry from rushing. But again, the defense, the pass defense, 9 yards per pass attempt. Mahomes, Kelsey, and the boys licking their chops to get after this wounded animal in the Chicago Bears. This could go either way, Ben. And what I mean by is you might see the Chicago Bears give an honest effort, but if we're looking in the second half as a white flag game, which means they've already given up, you might look back and go, why didn't I just see this coming? The writing was on the wall here. Having said that, I am trying to find a way to take the Chicago Bears team total to the over, and it's one of those where I say at the end of the day, why, Donnie? Why did you do that? There were so many other games, and you took the Bears.
48.5 the total for the game. The passing yards prop for Justin Fields is 182.5. He has thrown for more than 215 in both of the games this year for Chicago. Patrick Mahomes on the other side, 285.5, a 100-yard plus difference between those two QBs. DRS, Chicago, you would hope if they're losing football games, they've lost 12 straight, at least they'd be a little bit more competitive when not much is expected. 5-11 against the spread as an underdog since the start of last year. DRS, Buffalo looked really good back at home last week, 38-10, cruising to a victory against Las Vegas. Now they head to the Commanders. Washington, a perfect 2-0, but Donnie, the Bills, less than a touchdown favorite on the road in Landover.
Yeah, and by the way, you're taking a look at a defense here that's rounding into form. How about only 151 passing yards per game given up by the Buffalo Bills? Now, granted, through first 2 weeks, I don't really put too much stock in the Vegas Raiders. And then, you know, Zach Wilson on Monday night was taking over, what, three or four plays into Aaron Rodgers' regime here. I look for a big performance here, but also keep in mind, we do have some weather concerns coming up the East Coast here, and this game is going to be right in that path. If you're looking at rain, you might, as you say to yourself, typically look to the underdog. But if I have Josh Allen, who's the master runner in the backfield, maybe that's going to help them. I think Buffalo corrected themselves last week. I'm not surprised they go on the road in Washington and win by a touchdown or more, Ben.
DRS, the biggest difference between week one and week two for Buffalo, 4 turnovers out of Josh Allen against the Jets, 3 touchdowns, 0 turnovers last week against the Raiders. College football, Joe Lacy, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week number 4 of the 2023 college football season might be one of the best single Saturdays we have seen in the last 5 years, because there are 6 ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts. It is just the second time since November of 2017 we have at least 6 ranked matchups on a single Saturday. So welcome back to this Football Friday, live right here on the Early Line. I'm Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And the man in the middle is the mastermind of the college football pigskin, Joe Lacy. Lacy guy, tell me this is what it's all about.
Oh, it is, baby. I need a little chill in the air tomorrow so I can have my pumpkin spice coffee. We kick it off with college football today, and then about 12 hours, guys, of watching college football, at least for me, not all of us.
Hey, now. Listen, Wi-Fi signals are very, very strong, Lisi, regardless of where you are. All right, let's preview this week for Saturday slate. And Lisi, of the six ranked versus ranked matchups, the only one that features a tilt between two top 10 teams takes place tomorrow night in South Bend under the watchful eye of Touchdown Jesus. Lisi, here on TEL all week long, we have broken down this game. We have talked about the spread that was 7.5 in favor of Ohio State, the number six team in the country in the preseason. Now just 3.5 in favor of the Buckeyes as they head to Notre Dame to take on the ninth ranked Fighting Irish. So, Lisi, we've talked about the movement. Now you tell us, as the mastermind, what is the key matchup that will determine the outcome tomorrow night in South Bend?
Well, it's the rushing attack in Notre Dame. If they could run the football with Audric Estime, they're going to win this ball game. At least in my opinion. What has been the weakness in terms of Ohio State, Ben, the past couple of seasons, the reasons why they couldn't beat Michigan? It was the front seven. So if Jim Knowles cannot defend the run in this ball game, I think they're going to get potentially blown out in this matchup. I mean, in back-to-back games against the Michigan Wolverines, they allowed, guys, 274.5 rushing yards in both of those games and 9 rushing touchdowns. The ability to run will open up the passing attack for Sam Hartman. And I think Notre Dame could win this ballgame anywhere from 7 to 13 points Saturday night in South Bend, guys.
Talk to me about Sam Hartman in this game, because we always take a look at the Heisman bumper, maybe getting your Heisman moment. This is a primetime football game, two top 10 teams here on a Saturday night. What can I anticipate from Sam Hartman this weekend from your perspective, Joe?
Well, he's been clean with the football, Donnie. 13 touchdowns, no interceptions, the ability to step up, not just at home, but on the road. We saw it a couple of weeks ago in terms of Raleigh, big plays over the top of that defense and multiple defenses that he's faced. He's a battle-tested quarterback in big games throughout his career at Wake Forest. Sam Hartman played his best. So to look for a performance in the area of, I'd say, about 250, 260 in this ball game, and I think the ability to run the football will just benefit that. He's head-to-head right now with Caleb Williams and some of the front runners like Shedeur Sanders as well in terms of passing yards and passing touchdowns. So the ability to build on that against a top 25 defense, I think, is where Sam Hartman can make some noise.
244.5 is the passing yards prop for Sam Hartman, the quarterback for Notre Dame. It is 261.5 for Kyle McCord. Now the full-time starter for Ohio State, Audric Estime, Joe, the rushing yards prop, 77.5. I could not agree more with you. We are not seeing it differently, my friend. We see it the same exact way. Estime over 77.5 in all four games so far for Notre Dame, at least 95 on the ground. He is averaging a buck 33. And it really comes down to, in my estimation, the fact Ohio State, a better defense than we've seen in the last few years. Second best scoring defense in the country, third best total defense. Lisi, Donnie has asked this question to a number of our guests this week about this football game. I will ask you the same one. Top 10 tilt in South Bend tomorrow. Ohio State plays in the Big Ten Conference. Notre Dame, of course, independent. One of their three biggest games of the year coming your way tomorrow night. Lisi, who can afford to lose this game and who would declare it a must-win?
Well, must win is Ohio State, in my opinion. I think Notre Dame could afford to lose this game, but they can't afford to get blown out. That's the thing. I think they need to lose a close game. They have Clemson on deck, assuming Clemson knocks off Florida State Saturday afternoon. That's a marquee tilt. And then obviously late in October, Caleb Williams and the USC Trojans come to town, assuming that they're undefeated. To me, that's the difference why Notre Dame could afford to lose this matchup. For Ohio State, all they have is Michigan and Penn State on the resume that really can benefit them knocking down that college football playoff door. They lose this game, they're up against it, guys. I think that all the pressure is on Kyle McCord and the Buckeyes in this matchup.
Pressure in the Pac-12. Let's take a look here at the Salt Lake Showdown. 365, 366 on the rotation. UCLA and Utah. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, at -6.5. We're now seeing 5.5 now at FanDuel. Talk to me about some key injury information. Cam Rising, do you think he's going to play, not play? And also, where does this line end up if we do get confirmation that Rising is in?
Yeah, I'd say maybe it inches up to 6.5, maybe, 20, 30 minutes before kick, guys. Now, Utah hasn't lost at home since 2020, the COVID year. So they're on a heater in terms of Rice Eccles in Salt Lake City. They did list Cam Rising as the starter in terms of the depth chart. Nate Johnson, the freshman, behind him as well. He's battle tested, has played throughout the season, mobile guy. Comes down to Dante Moore, though, for me. He's a freshman quarterback, implemented over Garbers in game number one against Coastal Carolina, going up against the secondary of Utah, playing lights out. They've only given up 166 passing yards per game, only allowed one passing touchdown, but have forced four interceptions on the season, holding opposing quarterbacks to around 53% completion percentage. If they could force UCLA into long third downs, I think they win it. This is one of the best defensive games, in my opinion, all afternoon. It's a 3:30 kick. I love it, but I still give the edge to Utah. I think they grind it out and wear them down in the fourth quarter, guys.
52.5 is the total. UCLA is the third best rushing attack in the country, averaging more than 270 yards on the ground per game. Utah brings that physicality up front, the 10th best rushing defense in college football so far this season as well. Lisi, three of the six ranked versus ranked matchups take place in the Pac-12. USC not involved in one of them, but still the favorites currently to win the Conference of Champions in the final year of the Conference of Champions. Leasing the game that will probably have the most eyeballs also in that third 3:30 p.m. Eastern time window. It's in Autzen Stadium, one of the best atmospheres out on the West Coast. 10th ranked Oregon takes on 19th ranked Colorado. Lisi, before the Colorado State Colorado double overtime thriller into the wee hours of Saturday night into Sunday morning, the Buffs were a 14.5 point underdog for this matchup against Oregon. Now the line has ballooned to 3 touchdowns. Do you think it is more competitive than that 21 point spread in favor of the Ducks would indicate?
I want to believe it. I'm not betting this game, but to me, I think Oregon is the right side, guys. Maybe Colorado could backdoor this spread. I'd be shocked if it's a fourth quarter game and we're, one score, 37-30. I really would, because to me, this game's going to be won or lost in the trenches. Colorado right now can't run the football, only averaging 1.9 yards per carry. The offensive line is allowed 16 total sacks on the year. And you look at the flip side for the Oregon defense right now. 6 total sacks plus 6 in turnover margin. They're holding opposing offenses to a .112 in terms of rushing offense and only a .166 in the back end. To me, this favors Bo Nix. I know we see a lot of offense here, but I can only go to the physicality of Oregon because of the offense and defensive line play.
Joe, Deion believes they can win this football game. I truly believe the players believe they can win this football game because of all the confidence he builds up in them. Now, I need it from you. How can Colorado pull off this massive upset?
Have to force turnovers, Donnie. They have to be opportunistic. The back end in terms of the secondary has 4-6 interceptions on the year. You saw the pick six last week against Colorado State. That changed the momentum in terms of that first half of that ball game. They're going to need to force turnovers over Bo Nix. He's playing lights out right now. 895 yards, 77% completion percentage, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, and his ability to run it as well. That's something that Colorado up until this point really hasn't seen. They saw Chandler Morris week one. They saw a pocket passer last week with Fowler Nicolisi. But to me, the ability for Bo Nix to break contain, they need to contain him and force turnovers on the road to win this ballgame.
A lofty total, 70.5 is the over-under between Oregon and Colorado. There is no doubt that Colorado can score, averaging 41.5 points per game, but they allow a ton as well. Nearly 500 yards of total offense for CSU last week. Oregon's team total around 45. I think the Ducks name their score. So that's the Pac-12. But really, it comes down to the Pac-2, Lisi. Oregon State and Washington State on the Palouse tomorrow night in Pullman. The Bees currently a 3-point favorite. Lisi, we know the legal battles. These two, a united front against the rest of the deserters. Is this the true Pac-12 championship game tomorrow night in Pullman?
I think it is. I'm really looking forward to this game. And Washington State, guys, was one of my sleeper teams, and I'm backing them here in this spot. San Diego State pushed Oregon State's defense to the limit. They couldn't capitalize. Cam Ward, 61% in terms of third down offense in the back end, playing lights out, and the front seven holding opposing offenses to only 95 yards on the ground. Washington State in the mild upset.
The Oregon State Beavs are going to be tested defensively. Can Wazoo contain one of the most lethal rushing attacks we have seen so far this season? We're not done with college football. Joe Lisi returns next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week four of the college football season. That's tomorrow. It has six ranked versus ranked top 25 matchups. We have gone through four of the six so far, and we're not done yet. Welcome back to this College Football Friday, live right here on the Early Line. He's Donnie Rideside, Joe Lisi in the middle, and I am Ben Stevens. So, Lisi guy, we went through the top 10 tilt in South Bend between Notre Dame and Ohio State, the three ranked versus ranked Pac-12 games that we have tomorrow on a Saturday. And then, as a part of that 3:30 p.m. Eastern time window, we look at Tuscaloosa, Alabama, a top 15 showdown, 15th ranked Ole Miss against number 13, Alabama. Lisi, already a loss inside Brian Denny this season. Of course, it was week number two against Texas, the only double-digit home loss that Nick Saban has suffered at the helm of the Crimson Tide football program dating back to 2007. Lisi, the last time that Alabama lost multiple home games in a single season was that first year under Saban, way back in 2007. Can his former assistant, Lane Kiffin, and the Running Rebs go into Tuscaloosa as a touchdown dog and make history tomorrow in Bryant Denny?
They can. It's going to be a little bit difficult, Ben, from the series perspective. Alabama has won seven straight by an average margin of victory of 27.5 points per game. Picked up this victory last year in Oxford, 30-24. But I still lean to the better offense in this matchup. Jackson Dart and Ole Miss, they're averaging well over 500 total yards per game. Jackson Dart last week, 251 through the air and a tutty. Two touchdowns on the ground. He's averaging 9.1 yards per carry. Last week, well over 5 yards per rush every time he breaks contain. And that secondary for Ole Miss playing well, holding opposing offenses right now to a 186 through the air. Give me Ole Miss in the upset. It's not going to be easy, but I think the offense prevails. Ole Miss in the upset of the day.
Let's go for a little backtracking here, because how it plays into this game. Let's talk Alabama. There was once a song by the Beastie Boys named Sabotage here. What the heck was Alabama doing on Saturday, not starting Jalen Milroe and trying to sell us that Buckner and Simpson were better options at quarterback? They all see it at practice. What were they seeing that showed us that Milroe shouldn't have been the quarterback last week against South Florida?
Well, I mean, I think it was a little bit of both, right? How Milroe played in terms of the second half against Texas, he was a little turnover prone. And the fact that they were on the road last week with USF lined open up at 35.5, they bet it down to 31.5 because Milroe was out. They closed as a 33.5 point favorite, Donnie. But maybe Nick Saban wanted Milroe to take a step back, right? Young player, look at the game from the sidelines, give the players, in terms of Buckner and Simpson, an opportunity to develop, just get game experience, and then have him ready for this matchup with his first SEC opponent of the year. I think that's the way, potentially, we could look at it for Tommy Reese and Nick Saban in this matchup. He's head and shoulders above Buckner and Simpson right now, so let's see if it plays off. They're going to need his athletic ability as well on the perimeter because Ole Miss did have problems last week in the first half with Georgia Tech quarterback Haynes King.
225.5, the passing yards number for Jalen Milrow, 49.5, the rushing yards prop. Jackson Dart, by the way, 44.5. He has utilized the legs very well this year for Ole Miss's offense. You say that it was Nick Saban pulling Jalen Milrow back. I think it was Nick Saban having too much trust and confidence in the young Tommy Rees. I believe Tommy said to Nick, give my guy Buck a shot. And then Saban said, never again, Tommy. You live in this offense. You design an offensive scheme that is made for Jalen Milrow. You think about getting water, I'm going to be there. You think about getting a bite to eat, I'm going to be there. You are going to be in this office making an offense that gives us a victory over Lane Kiffin and the running Rebs. I'm not losing a 2 former assistants in the same year. I'm not losing 2 home games in the same year. Either Alabama wins on Saturday in Tuscaloosa against Ole Miss. The offensive line does have to be good, though. The running Rebs have had 10 sacks in the last 2 games. So, Lisi, that's 5 of 6 ranked versus ranked matchups. We go to Beaver Stadium. Happy Valley under the lights. The whiteout between 7th-ranked Penn State welcoming in 25th-ranked Iowa. A 14.5-point spread in favor of the Nittany Lions. And, Lisi, it wouldn't be a Big Ten bash if the total was anything more than 6 touchdowns. 40.5 is the number between Penn State and Iowa. Lisi, what's the approach? Seeing the Hawkeyes as a double-digit underdog.
I think score first if you're Penn State. Get the crowd involved. It's going to be a whiteout and put the pressure on Cade McNamara. I have a lot of Penn State fans calling me yesterday and being like, who do you like in the matchup? They're nervous about this game, Ben. I don't understand why. Drew Aller's the quarterback. You have Catron Allen, Nick Singleton. In terms of the rushing attack, I understand that they struggled a bit against the Fighting Illini, but this is a different animal. They're 41-8 since 2016 at home straight up in Beaver Stadium, and it's been 40 games, 40, since Iowa's had a 300-yard passer. they're only averaging .150 through the air. Are you kidding me? A blowout. I'm telling you, completely one-sided, all Penn State. I can't buy into Iowa. Stick a fork in them. Penn State wins by double digits.
So apparently Dave Sharapan was blowing up Joe Lisi's line here, asking for information on Penn State this weekend as we go. Let's shift the focus here. ACC battle. You see, like that? Come on. That's pretty good. Dave Sharapan would appreciate that at this moment. Yes. Florida State and Clemson, ACC battle. Line opened up at -3 as a favorite towards Florida State. We're now seeing a -1.5 here. The line coming down. Clemson in Death Valley, a dog with Dabo, Joe.
Yeah, this is incredible, too. You talk about the numbers, Donnie. They're absolutely staggering for Clemson. Only 2 losses straight up since 2015 to Pitt and last year to South Carolina. They're not running the football maybe as consistent as they were last year, but that's something to keep an eye out on in this ballgame. You look at Castellanos and Boston College last week. They had success on the ground. They worked off of play action. I think Cade Klubnik can make some plays in this ballgame. Can Jordan Travis be, I want to say, turnover free in this ballgame? I'm not so sure about that. I still favor the Clemson defense, holding opposing offenses to 29% in terms of third down defense, only giving up 3 yards per carry. I think this is a potential bounce-back spot for Clemson. Give the edge as well at home to Dabo over Mike Norvell. Mild upset. I think Clemson gets it done.
Their long home win streak in Death Valley came to a close last year in the regular season finale against the in-state foe in South Carolina. But, Joe, they're 34-1 in Death Valley since 2018. Dabo Swinney became the full-time head coach. His first full season was 2009. Since that point, Clemson has only been a home underdog 7 times. It is rarefied air to see the Tigers getting any bit of points, even if it's just 1.5, as they will on Saturday. And Joe, let's focus on that quarterback comparison. Cade Klubnik, was supposed to be the future. It's been questionable at times so far in the first three for that Tigers offense. Last week, 16 of 27, .169 against FAU, three touchdowns, 35 rushing yards, and a touchdown as well. But Joe, he's only averaged 189 passing yards in the two games versus FBS opponents. Of course, Florida Atlantic a week ago, Duke, the loss in the opener. Jordan Travis, Joe, you have questioned his big game ability. Well, in the biggest game so far this year for FSU, he was great against LSU. 342, four touchdowns, five total touchdowns with a 38-yard rushing yard component in that game as well. Joe, if will the quarterback play tomorrow in Death Valley? If Jordan Travis is better, does that mean Florida State gets a win? Can Clemson win if Cade Klubnik is not better than Jordan Travis?
I still think they can. I think Clemson, as long as Will Shipley and the rushing attack can run the football, they could be in it. Now, if they lose the turnover battle 4-1, no, I don't think Clemson could win that type of game. But if it's even two turnovers apiece or 3-2, yeah, I still think Clemson has a shot because of the defense. And you're right about Jordan Travis. Stepped up in the second half against LSU. We need to see that complete game, Ben. You look at back-to-back games over the past couple of seasons. Last year at home in Tallahassee, in the previous year against Clemson, they were able to force turnovers, and that's the biggest thing headed into Death Valley. Shocked as well that it's a noon kick, guys. Thought it would be at least be a 3:30 or a 7 p.m. kick in Death Valley.
Interesting game nonetheless, but also as we take a look at some of these ranked versus ranked matchups, we're going to be fantastic. You are going to get some Heisman moments. So let's take a look at the Heisman Trophy odds here, Joe. If we're looking at some of these guys in these big games, Sam Hartman, 10-1, Jordan Travis, 12-1, Bo Nix, 20-1, Marvin Harrison Jr., 31-1, Shedeur Sanders, 25-1. When we're talking on Monday, when we're reassessing here what's going on, who can be that mover here? Who has that big game? Who can take that big leap this weekend in some of those marquee matchups?
On that board, I would say it's Hartman. If Hartman knocks off Ohio State, now he's going to be right there with Penix and Caleb Williams. From 10-1, I think he'll be right in the area of maybe 4-1 because it is a national program and it's a known entity in terms of Notre Dame. Hartman, I think, could jump right into single digits in terms of the race. I'll give you a long shot. You know, and he's not known now. Jackson Dart gets the outright upset. And keep in mind, he plays LSU as well in terms of the SEC West. This could be the flyer of somehow, some way, Ole Miss is that dark horse and they go undefeated in the SEC this year. You're getting great value at 125-1, not just because he throws it, because of his big play ability on the ground as well, guys.
Yeah, Ole Miss right now, Lisi, has to be feeling live in the SEC West. LSU has lost this year, albeit against Florida State. Alabama already a loss as well, albeit against Texas. Non-conference losses for both the Crimson Tide and the Bayou Bengals, but Ole Miss understands the opportunity ahead tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. Lisi, we've seen movement already in the Heisman Trophy odds. Caleb Williams trying to go back-to-back for the first time and only the second time in the history of this award since Archie Griffin did it in 1974-75, still booked as the favorite. But Michael Penix Jr., Lisi, a Pac-12 game this weekend for a guy that has thrown for at least 409 passing yards in all three so far for the Huskies. We showed those Pac-12 title odds early, Joe, and I was going to ask who your favorite is in the Pac-12 at this moment. If it is Washington, does that mean a path is clear for Michael Penix Jr., the lefty for the Huskies, to win a Heisman Trophy?
It is. I mean, my two front runners right now are, I'm sticking to preseason. It's Utah and Washington. So let's see how they do this weekend. Utah gets through UCLA. Cam Rising's out of the Heisman because he's missed so much time. But you're right about Michael Penix. I will just say, keep an eye out for Cal. Last two games against Washington, Ben, 7-point victories for the Huskies. That's something to keep an eye out in terms of this matchup in Seattle. Bears are catching 21 points in this ballgame.
Yeah, we'll pay attention to it all on Saturday. Six ranked versus ranked matchups. Only the second time since November 2017 we have seen six ranked games on a single Saturday. Joe Lisi and myself, alongside Kevin Walsh, will be breaking it down starting tomorrow on College Football Today, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time, to get you set for the best Saturday of the year. Lisi guy, as always, we appreciate the time.
Hey, you love the show, guys, anytime.
I love when you say you love the show. It honors us here, Joe Lisi. We'll be back to end out hour two on TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out hour number two of three live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line, I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside, of course, is here as well. And if you want all of our information and insight, there's only one place to get that. It's at the Sports Grid app, the new Spiz Grizz app, available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Doesn't matter if you have an iPhone, doesn't matter if you have an Android. You get all of our information scanning that QR code in the palm of your hand. It is smarter to be on Sports Grid. All right, DRS, to end out this second hour, we love hearing from the people out there. And when you react to San Francisco, the only 3-0 team so far in the NFL, or maybe the first 3-0 team so far in the National Football League, the 49ers have scored 30 points in all three of their victories. Dominant last night in their home debut, 30-12 over the Giants. The Niners now the favorites to win the NFC. But what do you think? How far will San Francisco go? That was the question. And fade the public. How far will the 49ers go this season, DRS, at Sports Grid TV? That was the question. Will they win a Super Bowl? Will they reach the NFC Championship game for the fourth time in the last 5 years? Will it be a playoff berth but a shorter ending? Or will the Niners miss the playoffs altogether after a 3-0 start that has the least amount of votes, and rightfully so? But DRS, most of the votes saying San Francisco is going to win an NFC Championship. And after last night, Donnie, and with San Francisco booked as the NFC title favorites at the moment, I'm not sure you can fault the public here.
No, you really can't fault the public, and you're watching it in real time. You can only see what you saw for the first three games of the season and try to say, yeah, they're going to be a good football team, the 49ers. So not necessarily fading the public. I would have them in the division wild card round there, losing in the NFC Championship game to the Philadelphia Eagles. And again, they're going to play the Cowboys. They're also going to play the Philadelphia Eagles this year. A lot to be determined, but we know they're good, and they're showing they're good right now, Ben.
San Francisco and Dallas, week number five. The Niners, a 14.5 point favorite against the Cardinals next weekend. Hour three starts in 55 seconds.